Okay, hi everyone. So I'm very happy to introduce Sammy, who's going to be talking to us about printing of 3D limbs. So, yep, hello Sammy.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thanks for coming, everyone. So I'm Sammy, and I'm the co-founder of Open Bionics. Open Bionics is a startup based in Bristol. We started at the Bristol Robotics Lab Incubator, if anyone's familiar with that place. And so today I'm going to tell you about this company that we built and the reason why we built it and the technology that we're working on and why we think it's really important. We're a robotics company, and we are setting out to create and democratize technology that enhances the human body. So any kind of robotic technology that can improve quality of life and rate of independence. And we're focusing on making these robotic technologies more financially accessible, because this amazing technology already exists, but unfortunately it's prohibitively expensive. And the other thing that's a little bit interesting about our company is that we are also focused on turning disabilities into superpowers. And we are starting with the bionic hand, and it's for adults and young children like Logan. And so the type of bionic hand we're building is a multi-grip myoelectric hand. And so these don't exist at all for children at the moment, because children are quite small and the current technology is very expensive and very big. And so when we met Logan, he was 10 years old. He's from California, and his parents are fairly sort of well-off engineers. So he has a really great insurance program. He was born without a hand, and so the best device that his parents could get for him, the best that sort of money could buy, was this myoelectric hand. And this is the sort of a very similar experience for children who are born without hands, or children who lose hands around the world. They're given usually hooks, which is literally Victorian technology. Even in the UK, in the NHS, kids are given hooks. And for kids like Logan, this creates all kinds of problems. There's a body confidence problem, there's a psychological problem where it comes to accepting the limb. And Logan told us that this device actually made him feel more disabled, because of the comments he was getting from his peers, the way the device made him feel when he was wearing it. He hated that it had like a fleshy, doll-like hand attached to it. It didn't offer any movement or functionality, so he felt more impaired actually wearing it, but it was given to him by a clinician and he was told to wear it. So when I met my co-founder, Joel, we heard all of these stories from amputees about the devices they were given and the kind of experience they had wearing them, and we felt that we could definitely do better than this, which is quite confident, considering neither of us have a clinical background or any experience with medical devices. We're both just interested in making, and Joel's an engineer. So we got together and decided to reimagine the human hand. What could it be if you could build your hand from scratch? And so we started playing around with super functions, extra features, different kind of skins. Because if you are using hardware to build a bionic limb, why would you want to recreate the human hand? Why would you want to mimic something? So we tested this idea with lots of amputees. We spent 3 months co-designing with them, holding workshops where they would design their ultimate limb. And not one person requested a fleshy, colored human hand. Everyone kind of wanted robotic bionic limbs that didn't try to hide their difference. In fact, they wanted bionic limbs that celebrated their difference, championed their personality and hobbies. And so we had like professional women asking for bionic hands that had sort of USB removable fingertips, and children who wanted crayons implanted into their fingertips, because why not? You've got the space. And so after these workshops, Joel and I began prototyping robotic hands that kind of looked like Iron Man's hand. And we did the wrong thing. We went to Disney and spoke to their lawyers and asked them if we could make them for amputees. And we got a real hard no and a not very polite stop doing this, stop making them because you're infringing on our copyrights. But of course, we didn't stop. We kept refining the designs and prototyping and testing them with kids. And then 2 years later, we got another opportunity to pitch the idea to them. The idea was to turn children with limb differences into bionic superheroes. And we found the right people who were really into the idea. It was the artists at Disney. And they said yes. And so we spent a year working with Disney to turn children into bionic superheroes. So this is a custom comic that we developed with Marvel. It's just one of the panels. But I think it's super cool. It's actually putting the amputee into the shoes of the hero narrative, where this is like kind of like the first thing an amputee will receive with their device from us. And so it explains that we're celebrating something that they have seen as their weakness is actually their greatest source of strength. What they thought made them different for a wrong reason, a bad reason, is actually their superpower. And so when kids go through occupational therapy, they're not just learning to use a medical device that they're being told that they have to wear and have to learn about. They actually want to learn how to use their device because it's giving them superpowers, and they're doing Jedi Knight training or Avenger training rather than just occupational therapy. And so our first bionic limbs for children is the Iron Man bionic hand, the Disney Frozen bionic hand, and the Star Wars lightsaber bionic hand. And the cool thing about these images is that they're not just renders, we actually built them. So Logan got his first hand the first time he got to use fingers individually. I'm not sure what color his lightsaber is here. I think it's green. So this is in Yoda mode. And here it's blue. It's in Luke Skywalker mode. And it has Mace Windu in there, so it glows purple too. And he can like shake his arm around and it will flash just like a lightsaber would, and it makes this sort of sounds. So it's a medical device. He's using fingers with dexterity to perform tasks that help him do more things. But it's also an expression of his personality, and it's fun for him to play with. Like, suddenly this is the coolest thing to have rather than something that he's trying to hide away. Did my mic die? Hello? Am I back? No? Hello? Hello? Oh, I'm back. I'm good. Okay. So we built this, and Logan actually asked for a Darth Vader lightsaber, but Disney were like really keen on not having any dark side children running around. But he still tried to do a force choke on his sister. So these are medical devices. They are prosthetic hands, but they're also gamified, and it's had a huge, huge impact on Logan. Like, he was so excited to wear it. So before, he absolutely hated his myoelectric hand. This one, he couldn't wait to get on. He was running around the Disney parking lot showing everyone, and he constantly wanted to be shaking people's hand. A complete change from hiding his limb before. And the second one we built was the Iron Man hand for a 12-year-old girl called Sydney. So here she's performing a dexterous task for the first time using her finger and thumb. But just like the lightsaber arm, it's actually a fully functioning Iron Man hand. So she has the repulsor blaster in her palm that lights up when she squeezes the muscles in her arm. She's activating them by EMG sensors. She also has like missiles running up her arm, all of these sort of LEDs that she can fire off when she wants to. So it's half fun, cool gadget, and also medical device. And so we shared this kind of idea with the world, and it went viral, the world's first bionic superheroes. And we had a lot of great feedback from amputees. Like, finally, they felt like their community was being listened to. They were getting devices that they actually wanted to wear. But we also got a lot of negative backlash from adult amputees who were like, well, that's cool for the kids, but where's our stuff? So we teamed up with a video game company to create bionic limbs from their universe. So this is the Adam Jensen arm from the video game Deus Ex. What's super exciting about this design is that the video game is set in a universe that celebrates human augmentation. So traditionally, people view disability as a negative, as something that's wrong. But in this universe, you get to mod your body, and the people that get to wear these limbs are considered the best of the best. So it's a really interesting reframing of what it is to have a prosthetic device. So this is the Adam Jensen, and we also built the Titan arm. We were also really interested to do this collaboration because we wanted to make devices that were super sleek and wouldn't look out of place down like New York fashion runway or something. And again, we built them, and this is Dan and Catherine. Catherine is wearing the Titan arm, and Dan is wearing the Adam Jensen arm. And this was the first time that a bionic limb had been built as an exact replica from a science fiction universe. So we actually did take something that existed in science fiction and make it and turn it into science fact when Dan got to wear Adam Jensen's arm. So I'll show you how we make the devices. So during R&D, we used a 3D scanner that attached to the back of a smartphone. It's called the occipital sensor, the structure sensor. And you sort of just walk around the person, scan the limb, and that creates a 3D model, which you then turn into a completely custom socket, which you can 3D print. And during all of this sort of R&D phase, we shared, this is the way that we've been doing it online, and it got picked up by a lot of people. So this is Taylor. Taylor lost all of his limbs in Afghanistan and got together with a friend to make his own hand. So he went to our website, downloaded one of our robotic hands, 3D printed it at home, made some changes, and then shared them back with us. It was like the most perfect example of the open source community working together. But before it looked like this, which is actually pretty sleek, he sent us videos of like the hackery that he put up with to get there. So this was the very first design we produced called the Dextrous, and he made that one too. The second, the white one, was the Ada hand, if anyone's interested. And this is his friend testing the EMG sensors. So you can see he's like squeezing the sensors on his arm and controlling the fingers. And so we've had people all over the world do it. So Taylor's currently in the US. We had never met him. He just sort of emailed us once he had made it, which is pretty cool. So you can, we live in a time where you can not chat with anyone, but they can download their own limb off the internet and print it at home. And this is Nico, who is French, so he 3D printed his in France and took it to Russia to a hacking festival. I'm not sure what he did with it, but he's controlling it there. I think he like changed the software to make it do something fun. Nico is actually a really interesting guy. So he runs a space called My Human Kit, and it's a makerspace dedicated to making AIDS better. So it's a makerspace for people with disabilities to go to mold and hack their own equipment. And that's in France if you want to check that out. We also got requests to hack people's prosthetics and make them pretty. So we added these kind of like fiber optic lights to Grace's arm, and I spent a very long time hand gluing like thousands of Swarovski crystals. And people also use our designs that are open source. You can go to Instructables and download them. There's like a full kit on how to make it. They also use our designs for telepresence robots. In labs, people use them. So this glove is sort of controlling the robot hand. People use it with space applications. There's VR applications. Yeah, lots of fun stuff that people sort of send us videos of that we have no idea about otherwise. So yeah, if you're interested in making robotic hands, definitely go to Instructables, type in Open Bionics, and there's quite a few there for you to play with. So based with all of the sort of feedback from the maker community, the amputee community, we've turned the idea into a product, which now looks like this. So you have 3D, it's entirely 3D printed. You have covers that are personalizable. We use a mix of flexible materials like cheetah, by NinjaFlex, NinjaTech even. We also use a bit of PLA and some SLS printing. So yeah, it's a completely custom device, unique for the individual, pulls apart really easy, easy to clean, completely certified in the EU and US. And I have one here, which I can show you guys later if you want to play with it, and it turns on and stuff. But we couldn't get this far without our users and working very, very closely with our users. Can't emphasize enough how important co-design is. When you don't have direct experience of a problem and then you're designing a solution for it, it's just an awful idea. You really need to get very close with the users and stay close to them. And so Tilly is one of our best users because she's like a very blunt old lady in a small child's body. And she really will let you know when the device is bad and can be better. So Tilly lost both of her hands to meningitis when she was a baby. This was the first time that she ever got to throw a ball and the first time that she got to use fingers. She's wearing a mini Adam Jensen arm, which is pretty cool. So that was the first day she put it on. In fact, that was me filming on my smartphone. She literally just put the arm on. That was her first action. So the device doesn't take much learning. There's not much learning time. The sensors are equipped to pick up your muscle signals, and they learn from your muscle signals. So it's pretty intuitive to use. And Tilly has been testing with us for the past 2 years. So she takes it home. Does tasks like her homework, playing board games with her family, painting with her sisters. She comes into the lab and helps us with tests to make sure that the hand is super dexterous. But she also just wears the device because it's super useful. So there's a lot of things at home that she would struggle with without it, so like cleaning her teeth, brushing her hair. So her mum sends me videos frequently of Tilly doing new stuff for the first time. One of my favorite ones was her holding the Wii remote to like play one of the dance games, because previously, like this is her favorite Wii game, and previously she would have to duct tape the Wii remote to her arm, which was really painful, and she's got lots of scarring there, so it's really sensitive. But she was just absolutely thrilled that she had something that could hold the device for the first time. Another really interesting thing about the design, the impact of design, is that children and adults who get to choose the personalization, they get to choose the color, they get to choose the texture, they adopt the device much faster, and we think they have a higher success rate for like long-term adoption. We've only launched in April this year, so we don't actually have enough data, but from the feedback and from seeing people test the device and use it, the design really is empowering, and they really enjoy showing off and gesturing with it. So Tilly, this was really interesting because Tilly is holding her hand. There aren't any sensors in the fingertips. There's no sensory feedback, so there's no real reason for her to be sort of standing like this. She's doing it because she gets to gesture for the first time. And that day that she got to use her hand, she held her mum's face. She would hold her own face when she was waiting, and she was playing with her mum's hair. And all of these gestures she previously couldn't do, but this device enables her to express herself in a new way, which was something that we had never thought of before. And she's just like a master poser. I've got some videos I can show you. So really important things, like Tilly being able to do her makeup before school. what have we got here? Stealing popcorn. So the device is really dexterous. You can choose which fingers to use. Yeah, and I'll show you what this sort of device looks like now that we've launched. Yes. So the new technologies like 3D printing and 3D scanning has enabled us to create a device that is radically more affordable and accessible. So this kind of technology, the functionality, previously would cost anywhere between £30,000 to £60,000 for one hand. We met people in the US who spent $120,000 on one hand that has the same sort of functionality as our device. But because of the new methods of manufacturing, we've managed to make the same functionality for less than £10,000. And that's with all of the clinical services included. So we're still on this journey. We've just launched. We're selling the devices, and we're still learning. And I'm definitely open to learning more. If anyone has healthy criticism, and if they want to check out the device, that's cool. And yeah, I'm open for Q&A. Thanks for listening to me.
That was very interesting. Thank you very much. How are you funded?
Great question. So we started the company by applying to pitching competitions. So Intel ran a maker competition called Make It Wearable. We thought this was the ultimate wearable device. And we were up against like flying selfie drones and stuff. They weren't expecting a prosthetic hand. But yeah, we pitched and we won second place, which was, I think, $200,000. And that gave us our first bit of money to R&D. We also won a competition called the International Robotics and AI for Good Award. So we flew to Dubai and we had to pitch against all of these other companies with their amazing technologies. And we won $1 million for that demonstration. So yeah, we've managed to fund the company by finding grants and attending pitches and basically begging. Yeah. We also raised a seed round with angel investors, and we're sort of currently looking at building a Series A because the device is ready to go and it's selling in the UK, but to take it to the US, which is where the majority of upper limb amputees are, yeah, we need more sort of capital.
Hello. Hi. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the talk. Really interesting. I have a question about the sort of actuators that you're using inside the arm, and also sort of the battery life on them. Has that been a challenge?
Yes. So batteries suck. we're using a LiPo battery. This is what this sort of bulky bit is here. So for a person who has a short residual limb, so someone whose limb ends here below the elbow, we can embed the battery in this space. But for someone who has a long residuum, we have to make the battery external. The safest battery, because we're making these for children, the safest battery we could find are these chunky LiPos. You can buy flexi cells. They don't last as long as these, and they're a little bit more volatile, but they look a lot better. But the battery technology is difficult. This lasts a very long time, so this running time is over a day. Right. But the idea is you treat it like a mobile phone, so you use it all day, and then you charge it up when you're sleeping. We've designed custom motors, and we get those from Maxon, if that helps.
Great. And do you have feedbacks on the motors themselves?
Yes, we have, not in this hand here, but we have pressure sensors.
Great, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Hi. Do you see a lot of meaningful cultural or physical difference in how people translate body gestures or techniques into controlling the limbs?
Not into controlling the limbs. Children are the most interested party in exploring gestures. So even Logan would kind of hold his face and like try and give his dad a massage. And Cameron, basically young people are really playful and very interested in exploring what the device can do and how they can be expressive with it. Tilly is pretty well known online for posing with it. So she's like holds her finger like this. So we made this grip for a fine dexterous movement. Like, we've designed it for functionality, but Tilly just uses it to pose like with her eyeball. So yes, kids are playful. The interesting cultural reaction we had that we weren't quite prepared for were from very religious countries, and how a device like this could actually alienate someone because you're sort of tampering with God's design or saying, suggesting that this is we're trying to improve God's work. So we weren't ready for that. And we recently sort of expanded to Spain, and the Spanish have another sort of reaction, which is to hide disability and not draw attention to it. So we're sort of finding all of these cultural things out as we go. But yeah, it's very interesting and probably worth a research study.
Hey, I think the story of people being able to print their own limb and take your designs and use them is really awesome. I wonder how your investors respond to it as you go and try and do a Series A, and whether you're finding a conflict between the open side and the investment side.
Yeah, it was really interesting during the raising the seed round and having to sort of justify the business model, and basically you have to show that you can safeguard against risk, so a competitor won't come in, use our designs and then sell the device. But you just have to make sure that you build in safeguards. So for example, we've released a lot of our work, but not our very latest. So we get our latest work out there for amputees to use, and then once the next best design is ready, we will release this design. So there are protections that we put in place. We also use the share and share alike license, which means theoretically, everyone who uses our designs, they have to credit us as designers, and that would be really embarrassing for a competitor to do. We also know that competitors have downloaded and played with our devices and sort of hacked with them. So yeah, it's happening. We just have to be faster and trust that our team has the better method for producing the devices. And that answer sort of helps. The investors are happy with it. Cool. If you guys have any more questions, I'm going to be out there and I can show you the device. Cool. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you very much for your time.